Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think our defense is really good. That was a big focus. Like, how do we make sure we're playing really good defense? Listen, there's some pitching staffs out there that strike out tons of guys, and you look at the Dodgers or Mariners, the Phillies, for example. Like, you know, looking at our staff, the ball's going to be in play more, so we're going to have to play really good defense. And really, I wanted a long lineup. I felt like last year there was times during the year where it felt like we were could only kind of score in the odd innings, and making sure it's a deeper lineup, and that's been the case so far. I do think guys like Pete and Amaya and Shaw and Kelly playing well makes a huge difference. I'm very confident that the first six guys in the lineup are going to put together great at-bats. When those guys are hitting well and playing well, we're a tough team to pitch to.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's the voice of Jed Hoyer. He talked on the pregame show with our dear friend Zach Zaidman, and he was talking about exactly what you just heard, the defense that you need when your pitching staff isn't going to strike out a ton of people. And the Cubs have played pretty good defense up until two bad errors yesterday.
Oh, the irony. That was pregame. Zach did a terrific job in 5 minutes, succinctly getting Jed to address the offseason and all the ways he put together this team. And he was right. Speed and defense were what defined this Cubs start up until the ninth inning yesterday, when Justin Turner, still at first base, made an error and the double play that wasn't. So that hurt them, and they lost that game to the Padres. But Jed did at least talk about the design and the plan, and the lineup is longer with Kyle Tucker. Yep. And you do feel better about the offense maybe avoiding the slumps that last year they couldn't explain or get out of. And that was the other question that Zach asked him that was really good. Is like, how do you avoid with this offense the month-long slump that you couldn't avoid last year? And I don't know that you know how to answer that question. It's really difficult. But I do think this team seems more equipped to handle something like that because of different ways they can use to get on base and to really put pressure on the opposing pitcher just by the way they run the bases.
I think the Cubs look like a pretty good team. I think that the pity of the thing is that, unfortunately, when they lose, and it's not like they're setting records losing. It's not like they're losing at breakneck pace. They just had a 5-game winning streak. But when they lose, it comes down to things like the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And the bullpen, and then the bullpen. And I would say you got to start worrying about the bullpen. It's that simple.
Well, you have to start worrying about the bullpen because of history tells you that last year that was a big problem.
Yes.
Jed Hoyer spent the offseason devoted to the idea of fixing that bullpen. And this is what he had to say about his approach and when he'll know whether or not he's got it right.
When do you know what you have in the pen?
It takes a while. I mean, I think the last couple of years, I felt like it took us just too long to get to the right place, and we blew some games on getting there. I'm very confident we'll get to the right place. We'll get to that point, but it does take some time, you know, to sort out. And I think we're in that process right now. You know, trying to figure out. You know, we're not even going back to back very often right now. We're not going 3 out of 4. So I think that it takes time to build these guys up to get them into the season. I think we have some good power arms down there. But, you know, we say this to the guys we're sending out in spring training, that the nature of a bullpen in this era is that, you know, there's guys that are in the minor leagues right now, they're going to help our bullpen. There's guys that aren't in this organization, they're going to help our bullpen. We have to be vigilant every day to find more and more bullpen arms and continue to work that process. But, yes, it does take time, and that is probably the least settled area of our team. I'd say we're pretty settled in the other areas. That's an area we have to settle down and make sure that we're protecting the games that we're leading.
Excellent awareness.
Well, it's, I mean.
Excellent awareness.
David, is there anyone, do you know a single Cub fan who's unaware of it?
Well, no, but this is the second year in a row where you feel uncertain about the bullpen. Last year, it led to their undoing.
It did.
As much as any other factor.
How many blown saves do they have thus far?
It's a good question.
Where are we at, Dustin?
I don't know.
With your boys.
This year so far, blown saves?
Yes.
Well, at least 2.
Yeah.
On Sundays.
Well, yesterday, Ryan Pressly got the loss.
Oh, boy.
And I know he was damaged by the error, mm-hmm. not his doing, but he did give up
a walk and a single.
A walk and a single. And you'd like him to be a little bit more of a swing and miss guy. The Cubs, as with closers, they need that. They lack that swing and miss closer,
mm-hmm.
the guy that's going to get you a whiff when you need it. And is that guy Porter Hodge? Maybe. But Ryan Pressly, if I referenced this earlier, still stands out to me before he was traded to the Cubs. Remember that lull, that day? We had to figure out if he wanted to do that. And
they had to convince him to come live in Chicago.
They had to.
I'm not being mean. I'm just saying that.
Did they have to assure him that he would be used only in the ninth inning?
Yes.
Well, now what? Now what? If that's the case with him and you're just going to have to live with a 30-something closer who has, you know, the back of his baseball card suggests you should trust him through these difficult times that are sketchy and rough early, it seems a little bit like the Craig Kimbrel experience.
It's great. It's a great analogy, David. It's an absolute great analogy. It's Craig Kimbrel all over. There were a couple of things yesterday with my favorite skipper that just made you scratch your head. We've already been through a few of them, but like, how about in the top of the eighth, the Cubs are leading.
Yeah.
Okay. Porter Hodge is in. And again, the leadoff walk.
Mm-hmm.
So he walks a guy. Then he gets a fly out, but Merrill's now on second because he steals a base. He gets Bogaerts to line out. So there are two outs and a runner on second. Gavin Sheets is up and Jason Hayward's on deck.
You wanted to walk Gavin Sheets?
To get to Jason Hayward, yes. Jason Hayward is already 0-for-3 with a walk at this point.
Sheets was an 0-for-2 at that point.
Right, but it's Jason Hayward.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And then what happens? Sheets singles, the game is tied,
yes.
And then Hayward flied out. You got the ball out of the infield. Congratulations, Jason Hayward. In the next inning, Horner gets in on an infield single, and he immediately makes PCA bunt. Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Why not let a couple pitches happen? Like,
well, PCA's not hitting more than his weight.
I understand that, but I mean, maybe the ball gets away. I don't know that it needed to be an immediate bunt.
I really thought that returning to Wrigley was going to lift PCA. I thought that was going to help him. I thought that the crowd and the energy. He's kind of an
energy guy. Javi Baez effect.
I did believe that was something.
That was so the hope. That was so the hope.
And PCA could snap out of this. He had a really strong spring, but he's hitting 174 now, and he's not hitting, you know, at the top of the order because he can't afford to do that. Ian Happ's doing a nice job at the leadoff spot. PCA handling the bat, though, is his strength. So I think that asking him to bunt wasn't the worst idea.
Well, I agree, just immediately.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it didn't have to be the
right
off the bat. We had
a texter earlier who said if Bellinger was here, he'd be in center field for PCA.
And that I was basically suggesting that. I wasn't suggesting that because of PCA's limitations. I like him in center. I think he's going to be okay. But it is a point you can't deny when we talk about and going into the season. I mention this often, the unproven hitters in that lineup.
Yes.
The unproven players in your everyday lineup raise some concerns about how good this team really can be. I think PCA will snap out of it, but let's hope it happens sooner rather than later. You're right. So Michael Bush is another one of those guys. And the Michael Bush...
Is he? I at least you have more of a track record with him
really?
Than with Matt Shaw. I'm just saying.
Really?
There's more of a track record.
Okay, I don't disagree necessarily, but boy, do I wish the Cubs would make up their minds whether or not they agree with that.
So you think, and this goes back to the manager's usage of a player versus the way that the...
You pinch it for your cleanup hitter on Friday.
Yes.
You pinch it for your cleanup hitter on Friday with
They've
Justin Turner.
Yep.
They didn't put him in the game yesterday, and I just wonder, they have pinch it for their cleanup hitter twice now, and the season is young. So Michael Bush went on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday with Bruce and I. We asked him how he feels, because you're a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You're a cleanup hitter.
Yep.
You're a major league hitter. How do you feel when you have to take a seat for a right-handed component?
I think anybody... You know, on a roster, in the lineup, outside of the lineup, I think everybody, you know, they want to play. They always want to play. They always want to help the team win. They always want to, like, showcase what their abilities and their performance, all that stuff. But at the same time, kind of understanding and going into a game, understanding that, you know, get outside of myself and what I want or what I, you know, think I can do, but just how can I help the team? And if that means Justin's coming in for me against a lefty or whatever, and, you know, coming up in a spot like that, then, you know, I'm okay with that. I have to be. It's just, you know, it's the job that I signed up for. But also just continuing to work, because, you know, you don't know throughout the course of a season, you know, facing lefties or coming up in spots against lefties, or, like, you know, things happen just to where it doesn't always shape out to what you may think it is. Just always staying ready, but also understanding that, you know, walking into a game, you're right, putting yourself on the back burner and putting the team, you know, on the front side is always been important. I think it helps for sure.
He's a really good teammate.
Yes.
That was a really mature answer.
It was.
I just don't know that he should have had to been asked that question. If you believe in him, believe in him. Give him a chance to come through. Justin Turner is here. Yeah, pinch hitting makes sense, but at one point, he got pinched. It was the fifth inning. I just don't know if that makes sense to me.
Well, I mean, here, like, there's two parts to it. Like, if you feel you need to pinch hit him, then what? Explain to me why he is the cleanup hitter. If he's someone that you feel like you can't trust in whatever situation it is, then why do you have him where he is in the lineup? If he's your, you know, run producer, and then why are you going to someone else whenever there's a righty-lefty situation?
Well, that's a good point. We started the segment with Jed Hoyer, and in the offseason, really, he reinvested hope in Michael Bush by letting Cody Bellinger be salary dumped to the Yankees and letting Michael Bush become your everyday first baseman and your cleanup hitter. Is this a case, as Dustin has suggested, it doesn't seem like the manager might believe in Michael Bush as much as the front office might believe in Michael Bush, only because what you just articulated well is that if he's your cleanup hitter, he's not being traded. He's being treated like a seventh or eighth hitter.
Yes.
He's being, you know, they pinch hit from Bush yesterday. And that makes sense, because I guess he's hitting, you know, 190. He's a rookie. And Michael Bush pinch hit for Matt Shaw. So you treat him that way, I get it. But should you be treating Michael Bush that way to begin with? It's just very strange. And it reinforces how many questions still exist about this Cubs lineup, despite the fact they took 2 out of 3, despite the fact they just won 5 straight. You like this lineup. You like how long it is. But you wonder about these guys, and can they sustain this?
Fair enough. It's an interesting it's an interesting topic, but I do fear that it's a lot of created imaginary scenarios. Do we know that Jed doesn't go along with what Craig Counsell is doing? Do we know that there is any there any pushback to that? Are they having private conversations? I think we can imagine who feels what way about a guy, but we don't know that they don't feel that way.
But two things can be true, Molly. I think that they could have difference of opinions in terms of what Michael Bush is capable of doing without having a disagreement. I don't think that has to be conflict. It's just that Jed is going to be patient because he trusts Craig Counsell's judgment, and no two guys are going to look at things maybe the same way for every player. So maybe this is just a...
But just by setting it up the way we are, we're implying that there is a disagreement between them, and there is a... You know, someone is not judging a player the same way throughout the organization.
Well, there's a difference in opinion. I think there's... We're splitting hairs. It might be semantics. But having a difference of opinion doesn't necessarily mean disagreement. Because you can look at somebody differently and have different expectations for a player without allowing that to become a disagreement. You're going to have your manager, you're going to give him the autonomy to fill out the lineup and do things as you see fit. You're going to offer suggestions and your point of view. But you may have a difference of opinion about something without necessarily, you still understand why he's being handled the way your manager's being handled, he's handling him, because you trust your manager.
And can I say one other thing when we talk about the bullpen? We have kind of also made a leap that in order to coax Ryan Pressly to come to Chicago, you had to promise him that he would only be used as a ninth inning guy. Mm-hmm. And then you look, you know, we talk about, and I know we don't ever talk about the White Sox, but they're using Clevinger earlier in games, which I believe is because... It's because of analytics, you believe that the most important point of a game may be earlier in the game, so you use him when you believe he's needed most, not saving him for the ninth inning, right?
Unless you promised him the ninth inning.
Unless, and so we're kind of concluding, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
we're concluding that they can't use Pressly for the what they believe is the most important moment in the game. They have to wait until you get to the ninth inning to use him. And then when he missteps, it becomes a more damning problem than it would have been had he misstepped when you used him earlier.
That's a good point. He got the loss yesterday.
Yeah.
But I think he was shakier on Friday. When it didn't hurt him.
It was an unearned run because of the error.
And it was unearned, and so he got the loss. But I think that between Friday and yesterday, you just didn't come away feeling as confident as you would like to feel about your closer.
Yeah.
You know, your White Sox example is a good one. They brought in Clevinger because the seventh inning, they felt like that was a high-leverage situation. But, Molly, in the ninth inning, they went with Fraser Ellard.
He's been their closer in the minor leagues. He's been in all the minor league camps. I think he was the closer in Birmingham a couple years ago, if I recall, and then maybe in...
He ain't in Birmingham anymore.
Boy, don't be mean to Birmingham.
Just saying.
Don't you believe in the Birmingham Project?
I do after yesterday. Hagen Smith, that was the best thing the White Sox had happened to them over the weekend. Hagen Smith... pitch lights out and four innings, and he was really good for them. The best news is coming from the minor league level, because the Sox, bases loaded, walk. They have a three-run rally in the ninth, and they win. Tigers win 4-3, and the Sox bullpen blew it. And I question why they went to Ellard, but they don't really have many other options. So I guess it's a moot point to question the personnel choices.
312-644-6767. Let's try Josh. Josh is on the road. Hey, Josh.
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, you know, this problem started in the offseason. You know, prior to getting to the ninth inning yesterday, you know, I mean, I think we all know, all us Cubs fans, like our real Cubs fans who know this baseball, knew that this was just a matter of time. Like, this is Cubs baseball right now, and this is going to be Cubs baseball for the rest of the season unless Counsell is allowed to make the moves that he wants to make. But this started with Jed Hoyer not picking up much of anything in the offseason, not just like Ryan Pressly, an aging, you know, closer with, you know, anybody could see he's been on the down, you know, on a downward spiral. Not maybe not spiral, but even everybody else, we haven't picked up any relievers. There's nobody to do any work right now, and I just don't see it getting any better.
Well, I'm struggling. Thanks for the phone call. You have options. You have guys who might be solutions to a problem. You have Ben Brown, who could end up being back in the bullpen. You got Cade Horton, who was lights out last week in an outing, Friday night, I believe it was. You have, or maybe it was Thursday night, and you have good arms in your organization. Julian Merriweather was very good yesterday.
Yeah.
And you think maybe if they could figure out a way to use him.
Oh, they used him yesterday.
They used him.
Oh,
he actually
okay.
warmed
they didn't
up
just
and
have
came
him warm
into
up.
The game.
They didn't just
and
have
they
him
put
warm
him
up.
In.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, they're very deliberate in the way that they're bringing him back.
Do you have any concern? You guys made a great point about the fact that they had to promise. Okay,
conjecture.
when you have to do that, that should be the first check mark on the other side of why you may now want to get somebody. If you have to give incentives to come play here and leave Houston, he talked about it. He was pissed off. He was unhappy.
Yeah.
They live in Houston
yep.
full time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was their home.
Yes.
He did not want to come here. That should have been the first, you know what, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Well, that's Bruce.
Yeah, we're going to bring in Bruce Levine. We'll talk to Bruce about both sides of town. But I want to know specifically if he believes that there is some sort of issue going on between Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell.
Are you mentioning schism?
I didn't use the word schism. I reserve that word for your family.
Okay, thank you.
Even if it's an imaginary thing.
My long-lost cousin who plays for Florida.
You should be proud of that kid.
I am.
And we're going to change your name for a day anyway.
Okay.
Tomorrow, I think we decided. When they win the national championship, if indeed they do.
Okay.
Because there's a certain Kevin Sampson that might have something to say about that. Don't misname him. It's Mully and Haw. Bruce is next on The Score.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I've been working with a Nourish dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Always fun to talk to our friend Bruce Levine. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring. Check it out, aturo.com. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Who do you want to beat up first, the White Sox bullpen or the council judgment on who stays in the lineup?
Wow.
Well, I, you know, honestly, I thought they had a good weekend. I thought that it was great to see him win as handily as they did on opening day. And then you saw Matthew Boyd, and you saw another good win on Saturday. And I get it. There's a lot of anxiety when you seemingly have a game under control, and then you end up losing by a run. But I felt like the five-game winning streak.
Mully's calm.
No, it's not
that.
Calm. It's Bruce. After
like
winning,
White Sox fan.
After winning the way you won in Sacramento, you almost doubled down playing an unbeaten team and winning a couple games, and they could have had another sweep. Let's be honest about it. So, I'm not approaching it as a Sox fan. I just think we got to calm down a little. That's all.
Wow, what are you taking that makes you so mellow now?
I'm a different cat. I have decided there will be no friction caused by me in my life. What do you
think? Is there no caffeine involved? I need to get on your regimen.
What's the appropriate level, Bruce?
I think the appropriate level is that you blew a game you had in hand. Okay, so and again, it wasn't manager error like a lot of people believe it was. It was more player error, and it was first poor game played defensively by the Cubs, and it cost them. They lost the game. A first baseman couldn't hold on to a ball. It's a pretty easy play, and unfortunately got through his hands, and that was it. Now, should he have been in there?
Why are you giving him a pass? Why are you giving Council a pass?
I'm not. I'm trying to lay out the example of that eventually it's the player. So what did you, the question is not did you lose the game, but what did you learn about your players right now? And if the same circumstance comes up today, tomorrow, or the next day, is it the same way that you approach it as a manager? In this case, Council was ahead. He understood what was happening. He believed that after using Bush as a pinch hitter, that Turner was the guy that he wanted to face Suarez if it came to a matchup. And, you know, Bush wasn't going to hit in that place anyways. It was going to be either Workman, it was going to be Birdie, or it was going to be Amaya. Those were the only guys left available. So when you brought Workman in, you could have put him there if you kept Bush in the game. Those were your alternatives.
Okay.
And he went with the veteran hitter, and it didn't work out defensively or offensively.
You know what I learned? What I learned in 12 games so far this season is that the Cubs do not view Michael Bush as an everyday first baseman or cleanup hitter. They view him as a nice role player who could develop into something bigger. But at this point in time in his career, they don't trust him to play every day against tough lefties or stay in the game and not get pinch hit for. And they don't necessarily value him enough to keep him in the game or replace him at first base because of his defensive ability. And that, to me, is a big takeaway.
Well, they meaning Council, right?
It's the Cubs. He has a uniform. He plays for the organization. It's the Cubs.
Decision. No, the decision is made by Council.
Okay, then he's representing the Cubs. The Cubs don't believe in Michael Bush.
Okay, well, just say it like it is. It was Council who made the call.
All right,
the
manager. The manager doesn't believe in Michael Bush.
Okay, Craig Council made the call, and I don't think it was the wrong call. I believe that they're bringing guys along, that platooning has been a huge part of baseball ever since the 50s and 60s.
Not in 2016, it wasn't.
Well, you had better players all the way around, okay? You had stars at most of the positions. So with that in mind, you had stars, you had veterans that came up to bat and were able to handle the situation. I believe Bush has been brought along nicely by Council and the Cubs, don't you?
I am asking questions now because I guess I have a problem with it. So maybe no.
All right. I mean,
I think if
you're entitled to
it's a second guess. Yep. I didn't like it when they pitch hit for him in the fifth inning, and I didn't like it that he wasn't in the game yesterday when it mattered defensively.
I think that's fair. I mean, you know, it's a good look because in this case, you want to have development physically, and then you want the mental aspect of the development. In Counsell's case, you know, he's a hard-nosed baseball guy that looks at situations and goes, this is not a building situation. This is a situation to try to win a game with who I think is best in this particular moment. So it's pretty much that. So, you know, again, I think you can make an argument like you did, David, that, you know, you're not bringing along Bush the way that you want to. In the eyes of the manager is win that game that day with the best player at that moment.
And I'm just curious, did they make some sort of secret deal with Ryan Pressly that he would only be used in the ninth inning? That they know they are not allowed to go to whomever they think is the best pitcher in the most crucial moment. They have to wait until the ninth inning with Pressly.
I'm unaware of that. It's a fair question. I think it might be asked today. You know, again, Pressly has had command issues, certainly. Yesterday was a walkathon for everybody, including the other side of town, if we get to it. I mean, it was just a day where it was raw out there, neither pitcher on either side. You know, it was more of a spring training game with the elements being involved in it. But nonetheless, you know, it's one loss. I think that what you said, Mully, is that They're a pretty good-looking team right now. They have flaws like everybody else. There's going to be moments like this during the year. This game and the game in Arizona, the game where they were up 4-2 in the eighth inning, those are games you do look back at, but they're not going to win them all.
They're scoring runs, Bruce, which I am not sure that I believe the 35 runs against the A's were going to hold up with the Padres coming to town. And I think that what I liked was seeing them score runs.
Saturday and Sunday they did. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that was good. They scored runs on Sunday.
Yeah, they did.
Their approach has been great. I think they still lead the baseball in walks, you know, on offense. And, you know, looking at those at-bats, yesterday Counsell was asked, you know, is the offense a product of just having a star player like Tucker in the lineup? And I think you can make a case that it certainly isn't hurting it, and there is certainly a greater confidence among the people in that lineup having Tucker there, who's, you know, arguably the best player so far this season in the National League. You know, with that, you know, we have healthier players. You have a healthier Dansby Swanson taking better at-bats, looking more like the athletic player he was on offense as well as defense. So there's a lot of good things. I think the underrated part of the beginning of the year is that Horner's back to being an important player on this team that I think Cub fans expect and are, you know, happy to have back at second base.
While we're second-guessing managers, Will Venable, I think, exposed himself to that kind of scrutiny when he went to Mike Clevinger in the seventh. And I think when you look at going to Ellard and then Leisure in the ninth, maybe they don't have a closer because they don't always need one as often as other teams. But what did you think about that bullpen usage and their meltdown in Motown?
Well, he's been using Clevinger that way from the beginning of the year, okay? He believes, like a lot of people do, and, you know, I think we saw it a lot with Joe Maddon when he was with the Cubs. He believes the save sometimes is in the sixth or seventh inning in a big moment. And with a team that doesn't score very much like the White Sox, I understand that mentality. Like, we need to shut him down here because we don't think we're going to score another two or three runs here to win this game. We have to close him down in the sixth, seventh inning. It's a learning experience. I think we talked about it all spring. Who are the bullpen guys? How are they going to perform? Will they be able to handle a game when it's handed over to them in this fifth or sixth inning? And, you know, so far the answer is probably no. And I don't think it's a great surprise to anybody. Some of the guys do not have a lot of experience. They don't have an experience closer. Clevinger hasn't been in a bullpen for 10 years in his career. So with all that in mind, you know, you have to, I don't know, I was watching that game and I was expecting them not to win it in the ninth inning. I really was. You call it negative or
same.
Call it, you know, I just felt, you know, okay, they don't have the guys to match up, they're going to lose.
Sorry about that, Molly.
No, I think you
look forlorn.
You totally you don't understand where I'm coming from with this team. As I said earlier this morning, the idea that you're going to lose 100 plus no matter what, that is just kind of how you lose 100 plus games. You play a tough series against a good team, you lose a couple games, and then the game you look like you might win, you blow that one. So that's how you get there. That's what happens. And I was hoping that they would be able to win games throughout the year. I think it's much harder to do when you lack the talent that you have. And I think the White Sox are going to be a significantly different team by the end of the year than they are now. I'm talking about personnel. I think right. they're going to bring some of these guys up, and I'm keeping an eye on how they're doing in the minor leagues. I also believe that the Cubs' bullpen is going through the same sort of thing. And when we saw how bad they were last year, they were completely different by the end of the year than they were at the beginning right. of the year. And that's kind of what's going to happen.
I think you're right on, Molly. The idea that this is a different iteration of a bullpen for the Cubs that, you know, we know the names, we know their success ratio, we know what they've done, but I think there's seven new bullpen guys or six new bullpen guys, and the reality of who are they in 2025? What does Council really have there? He's learning these guys and how they're going to perform this year rather than what it says, you know, on the baseball reference page. So with that in mind, there's plenty of learning to be done by both managers. I guess all 30, but, you know, we're watching intently both the Cubs and White Sox.
Great stuff, Bruce. Really appreciate the time. Great insight.
Thanks, guys, buddy. Have a great day.
That is Bruce Levine. We're going to check in with Eddie Olczyk. I don't know if you are aware, there was a big record set in
and
the NHL.
And he was there, and he called
and
it.
Edzo called it. We'll speak with him next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Just trying to find a seam and all that. Hey, I'm going to try to force it to him if he's open.
Here is Ovechkin. Shoots. He scores! He scores! Number 895!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Woo, that's a lot of goals. And it's one more than the great one managed in his career. And we are delighted to welcome in Eddie Olczyk to the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Edzo, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I got to tell you, that was extraordinary. It was extraordinary that he almost got there against the Blackhawks, but that he set that record and really takes Gretzky off the hook. Now you get to say nice things, and then you don't have to keep
now
following.
Now you can go back to work.
But what an extraordinary career the guy has had up to this point.
Yeah, well, Mully and David, always great to be with you guys, and thanks for having me. And having been there yesterday and being on the call with Kenny Albert and Brian Boucher on TNT was obviously a tremendous thrill. It was tremendously tremendous, if I can go back in the day of the 2010 Olympics there in Vancouver. But, you know, I mean, just remarkable. Look, I never thought anybody would ever get to 894. I mean, when you look at what Gretz was able to do, that being Wayne Gretzky and the numbers he put up, and, you know, I mean, if you took all his goals away, he would still be the leading scorer in the National Hockey League history. So, you know, to be able to get on that or to be able to get in with arm's reach and then to see what Alexander Ovechkin has done. And look, for maybe non-hockey fans, I mean, Alexander Ovechkin had the skill of Walter Payton and the linebacker mentality of Dick Butkus. Like, he would be willing to run you through the end boards, and he played like that. Like, he tried to put you in the third or fourth row every shift he played. And, oh, by the way, he could grab the puck, and he can set up on the power play, and he can score goals. So I think what's happened, and I said this the other night when he was on the verge of breaking the record, is that I think over the course of the last 5 to 7 years, I think he realized, if I continue to try to play like Butkus, I'm not going to have any I'm not going to have any energy to be able to run into the end zone like Sweetness. And he backed off on his physical play. I mean, there is no doubt about it. So what does that do? It conserves energy. It allows him to have more energy and more focus on the offensive side. But then also the health part of this. I mean, think about it.
Well, that's the thing.
Coaching 20 years, David, right? I mean, that's the amazing thing. So for me, in a nutshell, I mean, I just to get to this point and to pass Wayne Gretzky on in anything in the National Hockey League is an unbelievable feat.
Well, Eddie, well put. And I think you see the greatness of Peyton and the mentality of of Butkus, but he had maybe the diet like the fridge. So how did he stay in shape to play 1,500 games?
Well, look at the world we live in now. I'm in no position to talk about anybody's diet. Okay, like let's just make sure I'm worried about the Kentucky Derby in a couple of weeks. So we got some action coming here on the Derby. So I look forward to chatting with you guys down the road. But I mean, look at everybody beats to a different drum, right? And whatever works. And
right.
Hockey players, and I can just speak from experience. I know when things were going good for me over my career, it was like, okay, I'm eating the same way. I'm driving the same way. I'm doing the same way. And I mean, look at this guy, 14 40 plus goal seasons in his NHL career. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever done that. So it's amazing on how he's been able to do it. And look, the biggest knock against Ovi was he can't win. He can't win. He can't win. Well, he eventually won. And he's the captain of the Washington Capitals, and here he breaks Wayne Gretzky's goal-scoring mark, which is just absolutely incredible. So a tip of the hockey helmet to Alexander Ovechkin.
Yeah, it's so interesting. He's standing there with Wayne, and he's on skates, but he's just towering over Wayne. And you're looking at him, and we kind of talked about it this morning, and you just sort of described the physical nature of how he played. He's more Gordie Howe than Wayne. Like he looked like a guy that, what I'm saying? Like it's
even Wayne talked about that. We had him on in the third period, and just, he talked about that, and just, the power that Ovechkin played with. I mean, Gordie Howe was Wayne Gretzky's idol, for people that may not know. So to pass Wayne, to get to 800 goals and then pass 802 and to pass his idol. And then all of a sudden here we are. I think it's kind of eerie. Every 31 years, this seems to go down here. So if you start trying to do the math, you're like, okay, what are we going to be in 56 or wherever? Who's going to be
Ovi's kid?
Who's going to be that guy that's going to be approaching 800 or 900 goals? Look, I was asked this question the other day. Like, the one guy I think is going to get to 800 goals. Now, whether or not he can get to the high eights, to me, is Austin Matthews. He's approaching 400 goals in Toronto. He's got 30 goals in only 61 games this year. So, I mean, he's averaging 40 goals a year. If somehow that he can stay healthy and he can really shoot it, I mean, he's as good as a shooter as Alexander Ovechkin. If somehow Austin Matthews, who, by the way, is from the state of Arizona, if anybody cares to know, I think he's got a chance to get to that, to get to that 800-plus. And if he has... Because, look, he had 69 goals, what was that, 2 years ago or last year? I can't even remember. But anyways, like, he has the ability to, to put the puck in the back of the net. So looking down the road here, maybe 10 years or so, keep an eye on Austin Matthews on where he goes. But right now it's all about the grade eight.
Well, if Austin Matthews does that, he will break a record that I think a lot of people this morning wonder if it will ever be broken. Eddie, as a sports fan, as a guy that's in the mix all the time, is this one of those numbers, though, like other sports records you think could be untouchable? You look at some other sports and you wonder, Favre's consecutive game streak. You wonder about some other things in other sports. Is this one of those numbers?
As I said earlier, David, I didn't think anybody would get to 894. So, look at the rules. Let's just call it what it is. Look at all sports have changed. All sports, for the most part, have catered to the offensive side of entertainment in sports.
the rules are way different. Like, Wayne Gretzky never played in an overtime for a lot of his career. He never played in a three-on-three situation. Power plays are way up now than they were, less hooking and hold and clutching and grabbing. So I don't think I can say never. I really can't, because I see the athlete. I see the way the game is. I see the overtime, over the course of a player's career. Because, look, the great players are going to get out on the ice a lot of times in a three-on-three situation. They're going to get out there multiple times in a game. Over the course of 15 or a 20-year career, your really good players are going to get those opportunities with less people on the ice. So I can't say never. I really don't. But it's just an amazing feat. And look, he's got 1 year left on his contract. But, I don't know where is this going? I mean, there's a lot of speculation on what might happen after the season. But if he plays another year in the way that he's going, you got to think he's going to get into that 935, 940 range. And then who knows what happens after that.
Eddie, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate it.
Great call, Eddie.
Hey, guys, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
John Heyman is next. We'll find out maybe what Jerry's trying to tell you about selling or not selling the White Sox. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.